Yo, and welcome to Dune Reads Goosebumps. I am Dune, and this is part two of My Best Friend is Invisible by R.L. Stine on Dune Reads Goosebumps. I just got some crazy big news from Giovanni about the world of, I don't know, shit we love. Not just podcasting, but radio and shit like that. And about the end of an era, and I'm a little bummed out about it, but, anyway, I don't even think I'm supposed to get into it. So I just won't get into it. I'm drinking a Steel Reserve. I spent all weekend sick because I made like a boil, like a southern style seafood boil. Speaking of things Giovanni does not like. And my fiance walked past some lobster in a tank and she's like, oh, that sounds good. And I was like, lobster? I ain't got fucking lobster money. So walking and they had the pre-cooked already lobsters on ice, which is a terrible plan. And I bought some, and I made the boil, and everything was fantastic. I had shrimp. There's no crawfish because they're not properly in season or whatever. But I had shrimp, and I had some crab, and I had potatoes and sausage and corn and everything else, and it was delicious. And I did a really good job cooking it. And she took one bite of the lobster, and she was like, "This is terrible. Don't eat it." But I'm like, "Fuck it. I bought lobster, even though it was cheap and." Whatever, I'm eating the lobster, and I couldn't even enjoy it, but I just ate it, and cut to spending the entire weekend just so sick, and just bile coming out of me, and miserable, and I had like a fever at one point, and going in and out of consciousness. It was just bad. Anyway, so I'm back at them, and alive, and no longer eating. I'll probably continue to eat shady seafood. I don't learn anything from any of my mistakes. Speaking of mistakes I never learn from, alright, let me drink some of this, and I'll start this up. Chapter number 13 of My Best Friend is Invisible. Yeah. Did Brent really leave? Did he leave because I yelled at him? I wondered. Would he come back? Like all that 90s fashion and Nirvana shirts and shit? I was still asking myself these questions on the way to school in the morning. An invisible kid was in my room yesterday. Hey, Dune, I know you're compelled to make Coney jokes because the Invisible Children is the company that did that campaign, but I made them last time, so I'm just going to keep moving on, and now I've got it out of my head and out of my mouth, so I won't want to do it every single time. That's a little trick I do. Whoa! This was hard to believe. I wanted to tell Mom and Dad about Brent last night, but I wasn't allowed out of my room. Even after I had cleaned up. Ow, skeet, skeet, skeet. That was Simon's fault. He told them that I made him fall. So, Mom and Dad ordered me to stay in my room all night long and think about how lucky I was to have a younger brother. That took about a second. The rest of the night, I thought about Brent. What did he really want? I wondered as the school bus rumbled toward school. He says he wants a friend, but should I believe him? I mean, a kid shows up in your room, an invisible kid at that. That's pretty fucking weird right there. And then he says he just wants to be your friend, even though you're just standing there rock hard, nude, and lubed up. Suddenly, I had a bad feeling about him. He wants something from me. I just know it. I've read tons of books. Oh, shut up. I've read tons of Goosebumps. You don't see me bragging. Actually, you do. I'm Dune. I've read a lot of Goosebumps. I'm almost done reading all the original ones. You should send me money. I've read tons of books about ghosts, monsters, and you name it. And I can tell you this. They always want something. Your body, your brain, your blood, your something. Wink. My body. That's it. That has to be it. Brent is a ghost who wants to fool me into being his friend so he can take over my body. The thought made me shudder. Last night, I had been too shocked, too amazed to be frightened of him. But now, I had time to think, and I was really getting scared. Why did he come to our house, to my room? Maybe I can make a deal with him, I thought. Maybe we can play our fiddles against each other in midnight. Leave me alone, and I'll give you my brother. I knew Brent wouldn't go for that one, but it made me smile. I didn't smile for long, though. I walked into school and stopped inside the doorway. I saw Claire a girl from my class standing by the water fountain. She was using the colored one for some reason. "Sure, I'll go with you after school," I heard her say. "Don't worry, I'll be there." My mouth dropped open. Claire was talking to no one. I walked slowly to my locker. A boy I knew from art class struggled with his lock. "Why can't I get this thing open?" he complained. "It's never gotten stuck before." He turned to his left and said, "Okay, you do it." And there was no kid standing next to him. He was also talking to someone invisible. I stared down the long hall. It was filled with kids. Kids talking to invisible kids. The school is filled with them. I realized to my horror, the school is filled with invisible people. Invisible people, banana. And I don't want you, and I don't see you. You're invisible diarrhea. I don't know the actual song. Still, it's pretty spooky. Chapter 14. Sammy! I turned to see who was calling my name, praying I could see who it was. I sighed with relief. It was Roxanne, and by Roxanne I mean Roxanne, not Roxanne, because I'm not doing that on this one, just like I wasn't doing on the second half of that one. I'm just saying it's Roxanne. Roxanne, you're not going to believe I started then I stopped. Roxanne was grinning. She walked up to me and laughed right in my fucking face. All the other kids in the hall began laughing too. You told everyone? I sputtered. You told everyone about the invisible kid in my room? Roxanne tried to speak, but she couldn't. She was doubled over, laughing really hard now. She nodded yes. How could you do this to me? I screeched like Samuel Powers. Calm down. Roxanne patted me on the shoulder. It was just a joke. You have to admit, we all did a good job of keeping a straight face. Unlike your face, homo. Good stuff. Ha ha, I said weakly. I didn't think it was at the Steel Reserve. I didn't think it was the least bit funny. I'm gonna get Roxanne for this, I promised myself. I don't know how, but I will. I headed into my classroom with my head down and took my seat quickly. Sammy spoke in class one day. The other kids piled into the room. Some of them were still laughing. When they saw me, they pretended to talk to invisible people again. My face turned red, like a visible savage. Everyone is so chatty this morning, Miss Starkling noted. Who put cocaine in your Cheerios? Time to settle down. Please, take out your homework. Oh, fuck, I groaned. I didn't do my homework last night. I'd forgotten all about it. I glanced around the room. I was the only one without the assignment. Please pass your homework to the front of the room, Miss Starkling said. Claire sat in front of me. She waited for me to pass my homework to her before she passed hers up. I tapped her on the shoulder. I ain't got it, I whispered and smoked a cigarette like the coolest kid in class, and then I brushed my hair with a comb that looked like a switchblade. Uh-oh, she said. Did the invisible boy eat it? Everyone around me giggled. Quiet down, class. Please stop making fun of the kid with Asperger's, Miss Starkling warned. She collected all the homework, then told us to open our math books. Miss Starkling wrote an equation on the board. Sammy, are you feeling better today? She asked when she finished. I nodded, yes. I mean, what else could I say? No, Miss Starkling, I'm not feeling better. I met an invisible kid last night in my room, and no one will ever believe me. Everyone thinks I'm cuckoo bananas crazy. Good, Miss Starkling said. Would you please come up and show the class how to solve this? I couldn't catch a break today. I stood up. Not you, Sammy, Miss Starkling said. I was talking to him. She pointed to the seat next to me. The empty seat next to me. I glanced up at Miss Starkling, puzzled. Your invisible friend. Ah, sucker! she said. That sent the whole class into a new fit of laughter. Miss Darkling laughed. Sorry, Sammy, I had to get a joke in get in on the joke, too. No, you don't. You're a teacher. You're supposed to be above these sorts of things. God, I hate teachers. Sorry? I knew she wasn't sorry. She was laughing too hard. I was so embarrassed, totally humiliated. And that was just the beginning of the day. The afternoon was much worse. At lunch period, I went to the library. I took a seat by myself. I didn't want to hear any more invisible boy jokes. I didn't want to talk to anyone. I took my tuna sandwich out of my backpack. Hi, Franklin. Franklin's been laying next to me the whole time. You're very sweet. We are walking today, and it's 88 degrees here today. And it's what, April 19th? Oh, you know what tomorrow is, dog?
420, dog.
And it was so fucking hot, his feet were hurting, so I had to carry him back inside. So delicate. But now he's hanging out next to me, because he appreciates me in my loving dad-like ways. Anyway, I took out that tuna sandwich. I placed it on my lap so Miss Pinsky, Susan Pinsky, the librarian, wouldn't see it. We're not supposed to eat in the library, and I didn't want to get caught. Everybody in school knows that when the librarian gets angry, watch out. I remember when Claire made her angry. Miss Pinsky made Claire write 100 book reports, 3 pages each. That was last year, but Claire is still writing the reports. I think she's only up to book number 20. I unwrapped the sandwich and gasped. The sandwich began to rise up, just like the masses who won't stand up to Pol Pot. It wasn't like a Pol Pot thing, it was a Pol Pot. Like, I didn't misspeak. It was an inside joke about some guy that's ruining podcasting and radio. Single-handedly. Pol Pot. Brent, put it down, I whispered. What are you doing here? A bite disappeared from the sandwich. I was lonely in your room all by myself, Brent said, and hungry. Another bite of my sandwich vanished. I snatched the sandwich away from him. I glanced nervously around the room. You can't stay here. You have to leave. Please let me stay, Brent begged. It's no fun at home without you. I need a friend. Everyone thinks I'm nuts. My voice started to rise. Totally nuts! Like those things that hang out the back of trucks. All the kids in school are laughing at me. Even my teacher's making fun of me. You can't stay here, Brent. You can't. A shadow fell over the table. I glanced up. The librarian stood over me, frowning and shaking her head. All right. About to have a red horse beer that I got from the same Filipino market as the shady, shady lobsters that my fiance's dad informed me was probably dead before they cooked it, which is why I got sick, which is what they do at shady markets. Anyway, the beer is almost the same alcohol as Steel Reserve, and bigger, and somehow cheaper, which is baffling. It's good, though.
Chapter 15, Sammy,
she hissed. Who are you talking to? And why are you talking in the library? I gulped. Her eyes narrowed into 2 angry slits. She clenched her lips tightly together. Then she glanced down at my lap and gasped. Is that food? I'm doomed. Like ID software, doomed, I realized. I'll be writing book reports for the rest of my life. Thanks, Brent. Thanks a lot.
Sammy, how could you? The librarian exclaimed. You've broken my 2 important rules.
I grabbed onto my seat, waiting for her to really let me have it. But she didn't.
This is so unlike you, she said. Her voice grew kinder. Would you like to talk to the guidance counselor after school today? You know, talking to yourself is a sign that you are troubled by something.
I glanced around the library, at everyone, gaping at me. I could feel my face turning hot. I knew I was blushing. No, I'm fine, I insisted.
If something is bothering you, it's nothing to be ashamed of.
The librarian took a seat next to me. Now, everyone started to whisper.
Are they doing hand stuff? I think they're about to kiss. Ew, is that his grandma? Gross. I wanted to disappear. Nothing is troubling me, really, I insisted, shoving my sandwich back in my backpack. Maybe you should have a chat with the guidance counselor anyway. She continued, I'm sure you'll find Miss Turnbull very easy to talk to. I'll tell her you are going to stop by. The librarian was not going to give you up. She's not going to let you down. I can't see Miss Turnbull after school today. I'm in the relay race in the Olympics, I said. I can't miss the race. My whole team is depending on me. Okay, the librarian stood up to leave. But will you promise me something? Sure, I thought. I'll promise you anything, as long as you leave now. I nodded, yes. I want you to come and see me if anything is bothering you. Will you do that? She patted me on the shoulder. That's what a shoulder pat sounds like. I didn't just cop out and pat my arm or something. I actually patted my shoulder to make the whole experience immersive for you, the listener. I nodded again, and she went back to her desk. I slowly glanced around to see if anyone was still staring at me. They weren't. They were all busy talking. Talking to invisible friends and laughing. Fucking assholes. I shaded my eyes from the sun. It beamed. Wait, that was probably a drinking break. It was just in between pages. I'm going to take advantage of it. I'm doing that. I shaded my eyes from the sun. It beamed down brightly on the track field. The sky was a deep blue. Like the deep blue sea, am I right? Good one, dude. The air felt warm, like a fart. Good one, dude. Nice. Not too hot, like your girlfriend. Good one, dude. A perfect day for a race. Race? What about racism? Good one, dude. I peered into the bleachers. Bleach what? Like peroxide in your hair? Good one, dude. They spilled over with kids from all the schools in town. I'm really done doing that. More kids arrive, trying to push their way into seats. But the bleachers were packed. Kids shouted and shoved and laughed and joked. Everyone seemed totally wired. My team gathered at one end of the field. I jogged over to them. Hey, Sammy! Roxanne greeted me and slapped me a high five. Great day for a race. I know we're going to win. I can feel it. And then she added, unless you mess up. You don't have to worry about me, Roxanne. I can outrun you any day. I shot back. Is Brent gonna trip him? We'll find out, won't we? I ran a practice lap around the field. I ran fast and strong. I was pumped. Pumped up like Valium. I felt totally confident. Three of us were going to run the relay race. Jed would start. Jed is a great runner. He's tall and skinny and can take really long strides. I would run next, then Roxanne would finish up. The three of us were the fastest runners in the whole seventh grade. We couldn't lose. Well, you can lose. It's always a possibility. That's why betting exists. The race was about to begin. I jumped up and down to keep my muscles warm. I glanced up into the stands and saw some kids pointing at me. Some of them laughed. Oh no. I groaned and moaned. I know what they're talking about. My invisible friend. After the race, you are going to keep a promise you made this morning, I told myself. You are going to pay Roxanne back no matter what it takes. All my muscles tensed up. Relax. Relax, I repeated over and over, bending forward and rubbing my leg muscles. Ready, Sammy? Jed high-fived me. We're counting on you. Ready, I said. It just says I said, but forget it. But I couldn't stop thinking about the kids in the bleachers, the ones who laughed every time they looked at me. And I couldn't stop thinking about Miss Starkling and how she made fun of me. And I couldn't stop thinking about the librarian who thought I was totally nuts. I'll pay them all back. I'll pay them all back. Oh, no, it doesn't say that. It just says my muscles tightened even more. I concentrated hard, concentrated on shoving all those thoughts out of my mind. I did some warm-up exercises. My muscles began to loosen up. I started to feel better. The referee took his place on the field. Jed, Roxanne, and I lined up in race order. The six teams from the other schools were ready too. We all waited for the referee's signal. As soon as he blew his whistle, the first runner would run around the track once, then pass the baton to the next runner. I trained my eyes on the referee. My heart pounded. I took a deep breath. Then another. Ooh, that's called breathing, baby. The whistle blew. The race was on. Cheers rang out as Jed took off. He ran faster than I'd ever seen him run before. Amazing, amazing, but not amazeballs, because that is a terrible word. Roxanne and I cheered him on. Go, Jed, go! Jed reached the halfway mark before any of the other runners. He raced to the finish, practically flying now, holding out the baton, holding it out so I could grab it and run. I could hear his sneakers pounding the ground. Dust flew up behind him, his face was red, his eyes were wide. He was only a few feet away from me. I dropped into my racing position. I stuck my hand out. Jed stretched out his arm. I grabbed the baton from him. The cheers in the bleachers rose to a roar. Here I go, I thought. Run! That's the end of the chapter. I would just like to point out how great I am at reading Goosebumps. I know I do it all the time, but dear God, that takes a lot of effort. You ever read out loud in class? It's very uncomfortable. And God damn, I'm good at it. I like barely fuck up at all, and I just do the whole chapter at a time. That is so impressive. You guys should really be impressed. Shout out to all the people that wanted me to give them shout outs who I'm not remembering right now, because, you know, I'm trying to record stuff. And the Horace dude that's been talking to me on Twitter, and then, you know, people I always talk to, I don't know, the old Satchels of Gold and Murray Overboard, goddamn, whatever, fucking Kelly and Brian in San Diego. I appreciate talking to you guys. I feel like I should always give shout-outs to my fiance Concetta, but she doesn't listen to this. She's fucking sick of me talking. I talk constantly. Oh, God. Chapter number 16. My shoes pounded the track. I swung my arms hard, gripping the baton in my right hand. Sorry, dude, hate to break it to you, but you're holding a baton. You're gay. Baton? I also like by that logic that all cops are gay, which they are. I took long strides, leaning forward, building a rhythm. Faster, faster than I ever run. I had ever run. The cheers thundered in my ears. Ear cheers! Go, Sammy! Go, go, go! That made me run even harder. It felt so awesome. Without slowing down, I glanced over my shoulder. I was way ahead of the other runners, even the black ones. I reached the halfway mark and sprinted forward. We were gonna win this race. Yes! The three-quarter mark was coming up, and I wasn't even out of breath. The other runners were struggling, still way behind. I leaned forward like the kids that like Naruto. Naruto? I'm sure not pronouncing that correctly. I don't know anything about it. I leaned forward, pounding the hard track. I gasped when I felt a hand grab my shoulder. Another hand grabbed my waist. Hey, I cried. And then I realized what was happening. Exactly what Dune predicted would happen. Brent got. Get away. What are you doing? I wailed. I'm going to help you win, he cried breathlessly. I'm going to show you. I'm your friend. Watch. Before I knew what was happening, before I could stop him, my feet lifted off the ground and I started to fly like R. Kelly. He's a terrible person, read the articles. He's a child predator, yeah. Plus, I can sing way better than R. Kelly anyway. You guys know this. You guys have been with me from the start. Chapter 17. Shh, got a vape. Hell yeah, dog, legalize it. No, stop, put me down, I shrieked. I don't know why I think that's funny every time I shrieked. He ignored my cries. He raised me off the ground. I flew about a foot and felt Brent stumble. Brent. Let go, I screamed. I waved my arms wildly, trying to regain my balance. I kicked my legs, trying to break free. I want to break free of Brent's grasp. I let out an angry cry as I fell to the track. I landed hard on my knees and elbows. Then my head banged, just knock your head and break your neck, down the sharp cinders. My head banged down on the sharp cinders. What's a cinder? Like, I know what a cinder block is. I don't know what a cinder is. Want me to look it up? I'll look it up. Maybe you guys are confused too. Yoda, are you confused about what a cinder is, Papa? It's a novel? Come here. Shh. Stop yelling. All right, there's a cat in my lap purring and trying to climb me. I still don't know what a cinder is, so maybe I'm not the stupid one. Man, I shouldn't have looked that up. So, cinders. The baton flew from my hand. I gazed up and watched in horror as it rolled across the field. Ow, there's a cat climbing over my shoulder and onto my back, and he's fatter than my dog. What are you doing, Yoda? Ow! Sorry, Sammy, Brent cried from close by. I only wanted to help, but I tripped. You are tripping, boy. I looked up in time to see the other runners racing by me. We were so close to winning. We were going to lose now, big time. I raised my eyes to Roxanne and Jed. They glared back at me. They shook their fists angrily at me. I sat up. My elbows were scraped raw, my knees bleeding. Brent, how could you do this to me? I wailed. I was only trying to help, he repeated. Another runner raced by me. His sneakers kicked up a chunk of cinders and mud. Splat into my eyes. Oh, come on. There's no such thing as cinders. I felt a hand trying to wipe the mud away. I swung out my arm and shoved Brent hard. Ow, he cried. Hey, why do you have to be a sore loser? Winning isn't her thing, you know? With my head down, I shuffled off the field. As I walked by the bleachers, some kids from my school booed me. Kids can be so cruel. I got some cheers, too, mostly from kids on other teams. I could feel Jed's and Roxanne's burning glares as I made my way over to them. Jed didn't say shit. I knew he was too angry to speak. Roxanne didn't have that problem. How could you, you stupid, clumsy cretin? She shrieked. We could have won. You blew it. You really blew it this time. It wasn't my fault, I cried. It was the invisible kid. Ugh, wrong thing to say. I wish you were invisible, Roxanne cried in disgust. I wish I were invisible too, I thought. That way, I could go into the women's locker room, and I could go into stores and steal whatever I wanted, and I could just watch the world go by without being part of it. Nude the whole time. This has to be the most awful day of my life. Brent is ruining my life. Maybe having an invisible friend would be fun for another kid, but it was definitely not fun for me. I have to do something about Brent, I decided. I have to do something right away. He should use one of those things that banks use when they put like the money in the bag for the robbers that explodes and turns them blue and they're all smurfy. And that way Brent would appear and then he could do the Arrested Development I blew myself joke and people would laugh because everyone loves Arrested Development for some reason.
Chapter 18.
Come on, Sammy, be a good sport. Measure me. Simon shoved a tape measure in my face. I told you, Simon, you're like 4.5 inches. I can feel it because it goes right down my throat. You haven't grown since yesterday. Now leave me alone.
Yoda, stop meowing. What are you meowing about?
Okay. I had just returned home from the worst day of my life. I definitely was not in the mood to measure Simon. My project is a loser. Simon lowered his eyes. A total loser. It was hard not to feel sorry for Simon. He was so serious about his science project. I tried to cheer him up. Simon, we just don't grow that fast, I said. Maybe you should study something else. How about measuring a puppy? Puppies grow faster than we do. Much faster. But we don't have a puppy, Simon replied. How about Brutus? You can measure Brutus, I said, guiding Simon out of my bedroom. Brutus isn't going to grow anymore, Simon whined.
Whining Simon. You know, right? That's what I'd call him.
You know that. He's too old. I'll think about it, I told him. I'll try to come up with something you can study, but I need to think. Alone. I gave Simon a soft shove out of my room, then I closed the door. I flopped down on my bed and pulled the covers over my head. I wished I were dead, I said. I wanted to disappear.
I couldn't face anyone. Not Roxanne, not my teacher, not Nicolas Cage in Face Off, not the librarian, not the whole seventh grade. I heard a noise. I whipped off the blanket and saw my window sliding up. Phew, why is it so hot in here? A familiar voice demanded. Oh, fuck, I groaned. You're back? Lighten up, Sammy. Why don't we go out and play some ball or something? Take your mind off things. I'm a really good pitcher, and I've seen from watching you and know that you're a really good catcher. Brent, you have to leave. Good idea. Let's leave this stuffy house. We'll go out. Get pizza. I'm hungry, he said. You must be hungry, too. I mean it. You have to go, I said softly. I didn't want to hurt his feelings. I just wanted him to go. But I don't want to leave, Brent replied. I want to be your best friend. I really do. I can't be your best friend, I told him. It's not working out. Just give it a chance, he insisted. We're going to have a great time together. You'll see. Sammy, time for dinner, Mom called up the steps. I'm going downstairs to eat, I told Brent. When I come back, don't worry, I'll still be here, he said cheerfully. He's never going to leave, I realized as I headed down for dinner. Never. What am I going to do? How am I going to get rid of him? There's only one thing to do. I took my seat at the dinner table. Mom, Dad, I have something important to tell you. My parents gazed up from their plates. I took a deep breath while they waited for me to go on. There is an invisible kid in my room, and I need your help. I have to get rid of him. I had to tell Mom and Dad. I didn't know what else to do. Mom and Dad were really smart. For parents. Get it? Like, parents, they're dumb. Actually, the older I get, the more I'm like, man, parents are dumb. Like, even smart old Dune. Wait for me to drink like I do every day. It's like, fuck, I could be a parent soon. I'm dumb as hell. I don't know shit. When my nephews, like, ask me things, I just, like, lie and pretend I have an answer. Like, I think that's what all adults do. It's gonna be difficult. Point is, you're right, R.L. Stine. Parents, they're stupid. They were scientists, after all. They'd know how to get rid of Brent. Not now, Sammy, Mom said impatiently. Your father and I had a very hard day today. We worked for hours on the molecule detector light, and it's still not working properly. Well, I don't think we could ever use that to find an invisible kid. She sighed. After dinner, we're going down to the basement to work on it some more. That's why your dad's eating a lot of pineapples. That work goes down smooth. So eat quickly. We don't have time for your wild stories. I felt a kick under the table. Cut it out, Simon. I glared at my brother. It wasn't me, Simon smirked. Maybe it was the invisible kid. Great. Simon, the serious mutant, is trying to be funny. I kicked Simon back. Hey, that hurt, he whined. It wasn't my fault. Your legs are in the way. They must be growing. Quick, measure them. I snickered. Ha, ha. Simon rolled his eyes, and Dune rolled his R's. Is the invisible kid as funny as you are? He kicked me again. Simon, I started. Cut it out, you two, Dad shouted like a regular Uncle Joey. I turned to Dad. But there really is an invisible kid. You have to believe me. I need your help. Not tonight. Tonight is our basement sex dungeon night, idiot, Dad groaned. Please, your mom and I had such a terrible day that can only be turned around by sex dungeoning. I tried again. He could be dangerous. He's upstairs and... Sammy, not another word. I mean it, Dad said. No more crazy stories. He would have said more, but he put a ball gag in his mouth to go with his gimp mask. So much for smart parents. Now, what am I gonna do? I wondered as Mom placed our dinner on the table. I've got to get rid of Brent, but how? All through dinner, I thought and thought, and by the time Mom served dessert, I had an idea. This is not the last chapter of the book, but it is the last chapter I'm going to be recording today. But don't worry, you won't even notice. I'll just go on to the next day right after this, and it'll just keep chugging on. Chapter number 19. Brent, are you here? I held out a few pieces of chicken wrapped in a napkin. It was easy sneaking it out of the dining room. Mom and Dad talked about work all through dinner.
Light refraction, frequency waves, the usual shit. Boring. They didn't pay any attention to me. And Simon was too busy worrying about his science project. He was still the same size. He even measured his fingernails, but they hadn't grown either. When no one was looking, I wrapped the chicken in my napkin and placed it in my lap. And Brutus wailed. Brutus loves chicken. He tried to jump into my lap. He clawed at the napkin. Lapkin, because it's in his lap, I guess. You know, man, I should have made that joke every time. Wow. I'm going to cut myself off in the middle of cutting myself off and say, how did I just refer to a lapkin as a joke? Whatever. He wailed some more. Can't you do something about that cat? Mom asked about the cats. Your father and I can't think. Come on, Brutus. I shoved the napkin under my t-shirt. Let's go upstairs. I jumped up from my chair and waved for Brutus to follow me. He let out a sharp cry and ran in the other direction. Wow, Brutus knows, I realized. Brutus knows that something weird is upstairs and in my room. I bet that's why he won't sleep in my room anymore. I hurried to my room and held out the chicken. Brent, are you hungry? I stood in one spot. I turned in a circle, holding out the chicken. I'm starving, thanks. Thanks a lot. I felt a light tug as Brent took the food from my hand. That's how it would work with me. If I was invisible, someone would be like, I need to trap this guy. I got chicken wings. And I'd be like, hey-o, you want me to read anything? Because I'll do that for chicken wings. I need to make that the picture for this podcast. Just me on a street corner that goes, we'll read bootleg audiobooks for chicken wings. And beer. That's important, too. I watched the napkin unfold itself like reverse origami. Fried chicken. A big bite disappeared. This is excellent. Your mom is a great cook. Thanks. Roxanne's mom is a great cook too, I said. Better than my mom. Much better. I eat at Roxanne's house all the time, whenever I can. Brent kept on eating. You should eat at Roxanne's. You'd see what I mean. Brent kept on eating. Hey, I thought of a great idea. I said, you should be Roxanne's best friend. Roxanne needs a ghost for our school project. You could be the ghost. That would make Roxanne so happy. She would have a ghost right in her own house. And you'd be happy too, eating all that great food. Come on, I can take you over there right now. Brent stopped eating. I am not going to Roxanne's house. He declared, she's a girl. What kind of invisible boy would hang around some sort of girl? What if she's changing or showering or something? I don't want to be a girl's best friend. I want to be your best friend. I already told you, I am not a ghost. The empty napkin floated toward me. Is there any more chicken? He asked. I'm still hungry. How about some dessert? Ooh, there's a drinking break. That's dessert for old Dune. I sat down on my bed and waited for Brent to finish his second helping of chicken and the bowl of ice cream I sneaked upstairs for him. Then I tried again. Brent, you have to leave. You have to go. But I want to be your best friend, he insisted. I'm never leaving, never. Don't you get it? I don't want you to be my best friend, I told him. I have plenty of friends. At least, I did until you came along. Oh, because I was about to say you ain't got no friends, but it turns out that you did have friends before everyone thought you were all cuckoo bananas crazy. I stood up and paced back and forth across my room like animals in shitty zoos. You are ruining my life, I said. I want you to leave me. I want you to get out of my house and never come back. Silence. Did you hear me? More silence. I know you're here, Brent. Answer me. Please, can we talk later? He finally replied. I'm way tired. I need to get some rest. The covers on my bed began to fold down. Then an invisible hand punched the pillow. Ah, Brent sighed. Your bed is so great. And then he put the covers on and he pitched an invisible tent. But it was visible because the covers were there. And then you're like, wait, if the covers and pillow move, then why don't your clothes move? Oh, God, you're nude. That's when I lost it. We cannot Talk later. We have to talk now. I want you to get out. I scream now.
Really?
Brent's voice changed, deeper and meaner. A lot meaner.
Yes. Really?
I stammered.
And what if I don't go?
He asked. I took a step back, away from the bed. I didn't like the way Brent said that. It sounded like a threat.
Well, Sammy, what if I don't go?
He repeated menacingly.
I took a step back and felt a hot hand clamp down on my shoulder. I tried to break free, but I couldn't.
He was too strong. Brent grabbed my arm. He held it tightly.
Leave me alone, I shouted. Let me go.
But he started to pull me
toward the open window.
Oh, wow. I'm really excited to get back to this. Hopefully it'll be either tomorrow or the next day. Because, goddamn, Dune reads the hell out of Goosebumps.
It's now Thursday. I'm drinking a Steel Reserve and reading chapter 20.
What did he plan to do? Push me out the window? Stop. Let go. Hey, let go. I shot my arms up and then OD'd and died. Just kidding. We're still going and broke free.
Sorry, Brent muttered. I was just goofing. You know, good friends wrestle sometimes, right? Just for fun and maybe kiss a little and stuff and don't talk about it when the ladies are around.
Fun? I cried weakly. My heart pounded in my chest.
He's dangerous. Ah, Shimon, I realized.
I don't think he was kidding around. I think he wanted to shove me out the window. Frightened, I turned and started to run to the door, but I stumbled over his invisible feet and fell hard to the floor.
The invisible foot always controlling the market, huh? Some good economics joking.
Before I could scramble up, I felt his strong hands grab me again.
Let go, I screeched, my voice high and shrill in panic.
I was just trying to help you up, Brent said. His hands released me. I rubbed my sore wrists.
Really? I was just helping you up,
Brent insisted while grabbing my wrists.
You believe me, don't you?
Say you believe me.
Okay, okay, I grumbled. I believe you.
Great, Brent cheered. But you still have to leave, I told him. Everyone already thinks I'm too weird. I can't have an invisible boy following me around, talking to me, living in my bedroom. Now go.
Really? I mean it.
But I can help you, Brent cried. I helped you already with that math equation.
Oh, yeah, you helped me all right. I started pacing my room again. You helped me look like a total geek in front of all my friends.
He's trying to pretend like he has friends.
And his teacher.
My teacher. Sorry, I went to switching from the first person to the third person and then got confused.
I winced just thinking about it. I guess I shouldn't have got confused. I just have to read the words written in front of me.
Okay, I made a mistake. One little mistake.
Just like you, listener. Your parents didn't want you, Brent said.
One little mistake? My voice started to rise. What about the library today? Now, the librarian thinks I'm totally crazy. She wants to see the guidance counselor for me to talk to see.
I couldn't help myself. I was yelling at him and forming sentences like Charlie from Always Sunny.
Sunny? I'm going to drink Steel Reserve until my brain works.
And what about the track race? You ruined everything. You made me fall and lose the race. You made me disappoint everyone.
Sorry, Brent said softly. I thought I could help you win. I just wanted to give you a boost.
A boost? I screamed. You.
My closet door opened. My new dark blue Yankees baseball jacket floated out.
Hey, cool jacket, Brent exclaimed.
I think the sleeves are too long, though. I don't think it will fit me.
The jacket slid off the hanger.
Give that to me! I snatched the jacket out of the air.
Ah, the old jacket snatch it.
Now leave. I don't want you here.
Sammy, who on earth are you yelling at?
Mom stood in my bedroom doorway.
The invisible kid, I cried. He's here. He's right here. You've got to believe me, Brent. Say something.
Silence.
Please, Brent, I begged.
Nothing. Mom walked over to me slowly.
staring at me, shaking her head. She placed a hand on my forehead. "You don't seem to have a fever." "I'm not sick, Mom. I'm fine, really, and I'm telling the truth." "I don't know." Her voice trailed off. Then she studied me carefully. "Where are you going?" she asked. "I'm not going anywhere," I said. "Then why are you holding your jacket?" I stared down at the jacket. "Oh, I just wanted to see if it still fits," I lied. "I mean, what else could I say now?" "Of course it still fits. We bought it for you last week. What are you, Super Tubby McTub Tubs Eats a Lot?" Mom stared hard at me, giving me an eating disorder. She placed her hand on my forehead again. "I don't know," she repeated. "You haven't been yourself lately." She glanced down at my jacket. Then she shook her head some more. "Now tell me, who were you shouting at?"
No one. I was just rehearsing my lines for the school play.
"Hey, stop wrestling with me. Don't try to put yourself inside of my body. I don't want it, Brent. And besides, anyway,
your dick is bent."
"You're in the school play?" she asked. No, not exactly," I said. "I'm rehearsing, in case they ask me to be in it." "Sammy, if something is bothering you, you know you can always tell me, right?"
"Right," I said.
Mom felt my forehead for a third time. She shook her head again. She started for the door and stopped. "Your father and I have been working very hard. I know we haven't been paying much attention to you, but that's going to change now. We're going to be here for you. In fact, we're going to be watching you very closely."
"Great. Mom and Dad are going to start studying me like one of their science projects."
"It's way too chilly in here, Sammy." Mom walked over to my window and closed it. Then she left the room.
"Are you still here, Brent?"
I snapped.
"Yes."
"Why did you do that to me? Why wouldn't you speak to my mother?" I demanded.
"Sorry," Brent said.
"But I don't want anyone else to know about me. I just want to live with you and be your friend."
"Well, that's not going to happen," I replied sharply.
I suddenly felt hopeful because Mom had just given me an idea. Now I knew exactly what I had to do to get rid of the invisible boy.
Chapter 21, about to have some 20 fun. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I ran straight across the hall to the bathroom. I turned the hot water faucet in the shower up all the way. Yes, a few seconds later, the mirror started to cloud with steam. Then I turned on the hot water in the sink and the bathroom too. I was finally going to sweat out all this weight like some sort of Russian.
Russians, I guess, are big in steam rooms. I don't know if they are actually, but it seemed like a good plan.
Wow, was it hot in her? Hotter than a tropical rainforest, I thought.
Excellent!
I wiped the sweat from my forehead and raced back into my room. I made sure the window was closed tightly. Then I opened the valve on my radiator. I kept turning it until I heard the loud hiss of steam escape my room.
I've never had a radiator, so I don't understand how they work. You just plug in the wall. I know you can, like, chain people to it and, like, assault them, like, in, like, hotel rooms and movies. But it's just a heater, right? Is it, like, a gas heater? Is that what it is? Why it's different? I don't know. We don't have them in San Diego. That's all. We do in, like, cars, obviously, but you know what I'm saying.
Do-do-do-do-do-do. Perspiration dripped from my face as the moist, warm air from the bathroom drifted into my room, Tokyo style. "Sammy, what are you doing?" Brent wailed. "It's too hot in her." I laughed. "Sorry, but this is the way I like it. Hot and steamy, bro." I raced down the hall and opened the valve on Mom and Dad's radiator. Then Simon's radiator, too. I made sure all their windows were shut tight. "Sammy, stop," Brent begged. "It's too hot. Too hot." I sat in my bed and waited. Beads of sweat formed on my upper lip. My t-shirt drenched with sweat clung to me. Perfect. I can't take it anymore. Brent's voice started to grow faint. I can't stay here. It's too hot. The block is hot. Over his low cries, I heard my window slide up, and I knew my plan had worked. Brent was gone for good.
Wait, it's not the final chapter. I bet he's not gone for good at all. I bet he's just gone until, like, the next chapter, or the chapter after that at most. We'll see what happens, won't we?
Chapter 22. It doesn't rhyme, but we're still about to have some fun.
On Saturday night, Roxanne and I planned to go to the movies to see School Spirit, but the plan had changed. Roxanne insisted that if I didn't go to Hedge House with her, she'd never speak to me again. I believed her. You know how women are.
Can you walk a little faster? Roxanne done asked her, and her was him, but I don't know, it rhymed.
It's getting cold out here.
She was right.
A heavy fog settled in, and a strong wind began to blow. I shivered in the damp night air. We walked quickly down block after block.
We're almost there, Roxanne said, as we neared the next corner. Are you ready?
I shrugged. Sure.
Good. Roxanne stopped. We're here.
Whoa! I peered up at the highest, darkest hedges I had ever seen. A wall of hedges so thick you couldn't even see through it. It was like an Armenian guy's pubes. Gross!
I have never seen hedges grow so high before, I stammered.
It's the will of the ghost to keep the house chilly and dark, as cold and icy as the spirit itself.
Roxanne smiled. I memorized that part of the book I read to you.
How do we get in? I asked, searching for a way through the tall shrubs.
You're lucky you have me for a partner, Roxanne sighed. That's how I feel about me and Conchetta.
You don't know anything. We walked along the dark hedges until we came to a small opening. I peeked inside, and there stood Hedge House. 3 stories high, tall and narrow, with lots of windows, most of them shattered. Sharp shards of glass poked up from the frames.
Wow! The hedges did grow as tall as the highest windows, just as the book said.
The shingles on the outside of the house were blackened and rotted with age. A strong gust of wind blew
from my butt because I done farted, boy.
A strong gust of wind blew. The hedge tops beat against the pointed roof and sent a loose shingle hurtling through the air. Roxanne and I jumped back just in time. I could see Roxanne shiver. This house was really creepy.
Fart! Just kidding, another fart joke.
If you're scared, we don't have to go in, I told her. We can still go see the movie.
Me? Italics. Scared? Italics.
Have you totally lost it?
Not italics.
She snapped. Let's go. Roxanne headed up the broken stone steps to the front door. I followed right behind her. She walked up onto the wooden porch.
Be careful, she said, glancing back at me.
These planks are kind of wobbly. She reached out for the front door. She slowly turned the knob. The door swung open with a creak, and we stepped inside.
Chapter 23!
We stood in a large entrance hall. A fancy chandelier hung from the ceiling directly over our heads. Crystals in the shape of teardrops dangled from it, like Cholo's tattoos. Crystals draped in a thick layer of dust and cobwebs. It felt icy cold in here, as if the whole room was wearing Gucci Mane's chains, much colder than outside. A sour odor rose up to greet us, and not just from our armpits. I shivered. I groped for a light switch and found one on the wall next to the door. I flicked the switch, but nothing happened.
Guess it's not a light switch then, it's just a switch.
It's not going to work, Roxanne whispered. Nobody's lived here for years. Turn on your flashlight, you dingus.
What flashlight? I asked.
You didn't bring a flashlight?
You were supposed to bring a flashlight, she whispered.
I forgot, I admitted.
Roxanne sighed. Did you bring the camcorder? She demanded.
Yes, it's right here. I pulled the video camera out of my backpack.
At least you remembered something, she muttered.
She started to say something else, but instead, a cry escaped her lips.
It doesn't have like an onomatopoeia written out as to what the cry should sound like, so that's the cry I gave to the situation. That's it. That's what I did.
What's wrong? I asked. Did you hear something?
Like a low moan.
She asked, excited.
No, I told her I didn't hear shit.
Oh.
Wait up, let me get my phone. I am so confused right now when it's unrelated to Goosebumps. Anyway.
No, I told her I didn't hear anything.
Oh, she said.
Well, we just got here. I bet we hear moaning soon. Make sure your camcorder is ready. We stepped forward into the living room, into a cold, white mist.
Ooh, like glacier ice. The Gatorade flavor, am I right? Glacier mist? Is that why I thought of that?
Fuck it. I can't see anything, I whispered.
How did the living room get so foggy?
Look. Roxanne pointed to one of the walls, where the fog came seeping through the cracks. It entered in narrow streams, then billowed and swirled, filling the room, like so many apartments did yesterday on 420.
Franklin, sit still on my lap. Franklin's on my lap. You want to say hi, Papa? I moved his face around, hoping he'd growl, but he just kind of made an annoyed sound.
I took another step.
Not hopefully it wasn't the one where you have to call people and apologize.
And the wind howled outside. Something white flew at me. I jumped back. Then I realized it was just the curtains. Filmy white curtains flapped over the broken front windows, flapping hard. Flap, 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 umph. Another gust blew, stronger this time. It drove the streams of fog through the cracks.
There's nothing in here, I said.
Another shiver ran through me.
Let's go upstairs.
Roxanne led the way through the dining room and kitchen before we headed toward the steps. Both rooms were empty, cold and empty. We walked down a long hallway. At the end of the hallway, we found the staircase. The old wood
Sorry, I'm trying to figure out my evening, and I keep getting texts from my fiancé, Connie, and I'm trying to figure things out. I just am about to open a Mike's Harder lemonade. Oh, sorry, strawberry lemonade. Limited edition collectible version with Deadpool on the cover, because God forbid they try to appeal to kids with alcohol. I like that once an R-rated Marvel movie appears, it's like, okay, fuck it, we can sell booze with it. You shouldn't be watching it anyway. Here, you want to hear my review? I bought this while drunk at 7-Eleven the other night. I don't know why. It's just sugary, syrupy, sweet. I don't know what I was expecting, but it's 8% booze. It's almost still reserve. And, yeah. All right, let's keep this going, shall we? God damn. What do I do this for? I don't know why. Someone give me money. Someone find me a legitimate job. My real job could end very soon, and I've been there for a decade. Someone hire me. I need like 70K a year just to keep it trill. Fuck, this isn't an intro. I shouldn't be rambling.
Oh, wow, that is sugary. We walked down a long hallway. At the end of the hallway, we found the staircase. The old wood banister was badly splintered. Parts of it were missing completely.
Ready?
Roxanne groped the wall as she started up.
God, I wish she would grope me like that.
I whispered, yes, as if I were the wall. But I wasn't so sure. I mean, I really didn't think this house was haunted. But it was so dark and damp and foggy and empty. Anyone would be a little scared in here. As we climbed the staircase, the steps groaned under our feet. The air grew colder. At the top of the stairs, we faced three doors, as if we were three doors down, like the band that exists, or maybe existed. I don't know. I never listened to them. We peered into each doorway, into small, dark rooms. I let out a relieved sigh when I saw that they were all empty. We climbed the stairs to the third floor. It took us into a large room. Wait, this is just the seventh guest. I played the hell out of that game. This one wasn't empty. Shredded clothing and torn blankets lay scattered on the floor. Three pillows sat propped against a wall, slashed with the stuffing spilling out, as if some serial killer came up here to practice on pillows. God, I hate you, Mom. Stab, stab, stab. A toppled wooden chair leaned against an old trunk. Roxanne crossed the darkened room and headed for the trunk. I kneeled down and studied a piece of black, crumpled material on the floor. I picked it up and gasped. Ebony porn. It was a black shirt. A black shirt with the right sleeve missing. Just like in the ghost story. Let's check out the trunk, Roxanne whispered. Hey, Roxanne, I was already checking yours out. Hey, ho, hey, oh no, look at this, I started, then stopped as a frightening moan drifted up the steps. We spun around to face the staircase and gasped as the steps began to creak and groan. Footsteps. Roxanne's mouth gaped open. My heart began to pound in my chest. Thump, 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 thump. Roxanne turned to me, but I peered down quickly so she wouldn't see how frightened or erect I was. The ghost is here, she stammered. It's coming. Get the camcorder ready. The funniest things you do, America and ghosts, America and ghosts, this is you. I fumbled for the power switch. It shook as I raised it up in my trembling hands. Just have a drink if they're trembling, idiot. That's what I do every morning. The footsteps reached the top of the stairs. Roxanne stood in the center of the room, frozen in fear. A deep, eerie moan filled the room, followed by a shrill laugh. Then the chair flew across the room and the lid of the trunk shot open. Roxanne leaped back. She took out her notebook and began scribbling notes. What would President Obama's wife Michelle look like with a giant dong? Here's my note. I think I go in the president first when I was going with dong as a punchline. I forget it. She was excited and scared. Her pencil shook as she wrote. The lid of the trunk slammed down hard. We both jumped. I watched in horror as the chair began to rise up off the floor. It hovered in midair, then came down with a loud crash. Don't just stand there, Roxanne screamed at me. The camcorder! The camcorder! Get to the camcorder! Get it on video! I lifted the video camera and the pillows soared through the room like some sort of weird erotic dungeon of some sort of sultan. The blankets came alive, but this time it wasn't bedbugs. They seemed to hurl themselves at us. They wrapped around our bodies. Yuck! I cried out. They smelled so sour, so rotten. The blankets spun around us like toy tops. Then they dropped to the floor. By the way, a toy bottom is just a fleshlight. Conchetta! Yeah. Hey, boo, come here. The trunk lid opened and banged closed again and again. The windows slid up and crashed down. It's a ghost! Roxanne exclaimed happily. A real ghost? Do you believe it? We're definitely going to get an A. Let me have that. She grabbed my video camera and peered through the viewfinder. No! A terrified howl escaped her throat. She dropped the camera. It clattered to the floor. Help me, Sammy! She screamed. It's got me! It's
got me. All right, hold up. All right, I'm going to try to get this shit done today.
Chapter 24, let me go.
Roxanne shrieked.
Sammy, help, it's got me. The ghost, it's pulling me, let me go.
God, I'm good at this.
I gaped in horror as Roxanne's jacket flew up behind her, tugged by an invisible, ghostly hand. Her whole body jerked as the ghost pulled and sent her stumbling across the room. She tripped and fell onto her knees. Now's my chance, I thought. But no, I gotta save her. Ow! She uttered a terrified cry, scrambling to her feet like some scramby eggs, her eyes wide with fright. I suddenly remembered the camcorder. I've got to get this on tape. The dad from Full House will fucking love this shit. God damn it. Sorry, I was looking at Connie. I couldn't think of Bob Saget. It's Bob Saget. I told myself. I raised the camera. Roxanne's jacket flew out behind her again like some sort of tiny cape. Oh, help, she cried. She began to spin in the circle like a whirling dervish, round and round, faster and faster, whirling helplessly, her arms flying up, her hair spinning out behind her head. I tried to hold the camcorder steady, but I couldn't. Drop that stupid camera and help me, Roxanne shrieked as she whirled around the room. Get away from her, I yelled. Leave her alone.
Heyo, it's now Saturday, and I'm having a nice relaxing day, and Connie is sleeping with the dogs, all three of them, as we're currently watching Fred and Azalea's dogs while they're in Vegas, which we couldn't afford. And I was just laying down reading the new NoFX book, which, goddamn, that's good and interesting. I saw them, what, last week? Week before? I don't know. Anyway, figure if I'm getting drunk and reading anyway, might as well do so for your benefit as well. Even though I really do want to get back to that book, but may as well be productive. Anyway,
get away from her! I yelled, leave her alone! To my shock, Roxanne stopped spinning. Her knees buckled. She fell against the wall, hit hard with a loud thud.
Oh!
She shook her head as if trying to shake away her fear. The ghost of Hedge House, she started. But before she could finish her sentence, she floated up from the floor.
No, please!
Roxanne begged, thrashing her arms wildly, kicking her legs. Let me down! Let me down! The ghost must have let go because Roxanne slid to the floor, landing hard on her knees, leaving them bruised, and that was the lie that she gave to her parents to explain why her knees were bruised. Before she could climb up, a pillow floated from the floor. I stared in shock as it pressed itself over Roxanne's face. Oh, no. She uttered a muffled cry.
Help, I can't breathe. The ghost, he's smothering me.
No. A cry tore from my throat as I dove across the room to Roxanne. No. With a desperate grab, I ripped the pillow away. Go haunt someone else, I screamed because clearly I couldn't think of anything better. Roxanne dropped to the floor. I tossed the pillow away and started toward her, but a cold hand tightened around my arm.
Jeffrey, I've been waiting for you,
a hoarse voice rasped. I like to make it clear that it was hoarse as in the tone of like, not as in a hoarse voice, as in like, nay, Jeffrey, I've been waiting for you. I'm drinking an Anchor steam beer, but I've been drinking cocktails all day.
The ghost of Hedge House. It talked to me. I'm
not Jeffrey, I choked out.
Jeffrey, we've been waiting for you,
he moaned again. Then I felt myself being lifted off the floor. Before I could struggle free, the ghost jerked me back and forth so hard I thought my neck would snap. I wanted to scream, I wanted to fight back, but his grip was so strong. I felt so helpless. A sour-smelling blanket rose up and infected me with smallpox. Blam! You got Native American'd.
Oh, that's not what happened. It just rose up and wrapped itself tightly around me.
I couldn't move my hands or legs. I kicked and squirmed, struggling against the rotted fabric, and finally dropped face down on the floor. A shrill laugh rang through the room. Roxanne and I staggered to our feet. We headed for the stairs. The ghost followed after us, moaning, "Jeffrey, I've been waiting for you. Jeffrey, come back. I've waited so long." We reached the second floor landing and the ghost grabbed me from behind. "I've got you, Jeffrey," came his raspy whisper. "I've waited so long in this old house, so long." His cold hands circled my neck.
"Yoda, you know how to open the door to this room?" That's very impressive, honestly. I truly didn't know you could open the door so easily. Come here.
His cold hands circled my neck. He tightened his grip. I couldn't breathe. "I'm not Jeffrey," I choked out my last words.
Chapter number 25.
I thought they were my last words.
You can't just end a chapter with a statement. "These are my last words." And then be like, "JK, I must have been mistaken." That's not how a twist works, R.L. Stine.
Everything flared bright red. The room spun and tilted behind. The swirling red stars flashed in my eyes. So white and bright, my head ached. I tried to blink them away. I must have blinked 182 times, and then they faded to black. Everything faded to black. The ghost of Hedge House had another victim, but no, not quite. A hand grabbed mine, pulled me from the darkness, like in A-ha's video for Take On Me, where the dude gets pulled into the cartoon world by the girl. But it's not like cartoon, it's like the weird, what's that? Goddamn. Nagel? Is that the artist? Oh well, Nagel, please, let's keep going.
"Sammy, come on," Roxanne pleaded in a terrified whisper. "Come on, you're okay, you're okay." And before I realized it, she had pulled me free, and we were running again, running down the stairs, through the misty living room, out the door, and into the cold night. Breathing the air, the cool, sweet air, just like the cool with the K cigarettes. That menthol.
I have vowed that once I hit 30 in July, I'm going to start smoking, because no one starts smoking at 30. And when I do, Newports, that's all I'm smoking.
Breathing and running alive, yes, alive, leaving the ghost of Hedge House behind and running. And running and breathing. The air never smelled so good. Pure Bolivian marching air. The air never looked so beautiful.
Oh, it says night never looked so beautiful. Whatever, I shouldn't have corrected myself.
Roxanne ran straight to her house. I watched her throw open her front door. She flew inside and slammed the door behind her. I jogged the rest of the way to my house, burst breathlessly inside, and checked in the front door twice to make sure it was locked.
Because, you know, ghosts, they don't go through locked doors.
My legs trembling, my whole body vibrating, shaking alive. I ran up the stairs to my room. I sat down on my bed and screamed in terror. Screamed at the black shirt draped on my pillow. The black shirt of the one-armed ghost.
Man, I really forgot what the fuck he's talking about here. What one-armed ghost and what black shirt? Guess we'll find out in the next one, won't we?
Chapter 26.
"It's only a shirt," a voice said calmly. "What's your problem?" I jumped to my feet and saw a plate hovering in the air, a flying saucer, and a sandwich vanishing bite by bite.
A flying sandwich, or forget it.
"Brent? Didn't I do a great job?" Brent asked between bites. "Don't I make an awesome ghost?" I saw my desk chair slide out. "That was hard work," he sighed. "Boy, am I tired." "You?" I shrieked. "That was you?" "I know, it was awesome," he said.
Jeffrey, I've been waiting for you.
Then he burst out laughing. I sputtered.
Don't thank me, Brent said. Really, you don't have to thank me. Now you'll have the best report in school. I told you I could help you. I told you I could be your best friend.
Hi, Chloe. Come here.
Hi.
You want to say hi to people? You've never been on Goosebumps.
No? Okay.
Oh, no, I shouted. Brent, how could you do that to me? You scared me to death. You scared Roxanne to death. You really hurt her. And you nearly strangled me.
Don't thank me, he repeated.
You really don't have to. I just wanted to show you that I can help out. Get out of my house. Get out now.
I'm not talking to you, Chloe. You're welcome to stay here anytime you want. If you want to see what Chloe looks like, I posted an Instagram picture at Dune_M of me just laying with dogs.
Whatever.
Go down there, sweetie. Go lay with Connie.
Da-da-da, get out now, I screamed out. I mean it, get out, I cried so loud my voice cracked.
Well, that's puberty.
Get out, you idiot. You nearly killed us. I want you to leave now. Get out. I turned to the door and pointed to it. Get. Go on and get.
And then I spit some tobacco juice out of my mouth.
Dad stood in the doorway, his face filled with concern.
Sammy, I'm sorry, son, but you're too old to have an imaginary friend. He said softly.
No, Dad, you don't understand. He's not my friend, I cried. He's not my friend. He's not.
Dad wrapped his arms around my shoulders.
Stay calm. Just try to stay calm.
He walked me to my bed. He made me sit down. He grabbed my desk for my desk chair.
Don't sit there, I gasped. He's sitting there.
Dad sat down anyway.
Take a deep breath, he instructed me. Settle down now. Let's talk about this friend of yours.
Dad, he's not my friend. He wants to be my friend, but he's not. He's driving me crazy, 'cause he is a ghost. I don't know the Britney Spears song, so I'm just gonna sing like this.
I shoved the black shirt aside and fell back on my pillow. And suddenly, I had an idea.
I know.
I bet we can get rid of him together. Dad, will you help me? Will you help me get rid of Brent?
Of course I'll help you, Dad replied, his eyes studying me. Nerd.
He stood up, took my hand, guided me to the doorway.
Thanks, Dad. I really appreciate this. Thanks a lot. I sighed with relief.
I suddenly felt much better. As soon as Dad said he'd help, all my muscles relaxed.
Everything is gonna be okay, Dad said softly.
I know, I replied. I feel better already. That's great, son. But can you tell me, what's troubling you?
Do you know? What made you invent this invisible friend, Brent?
More like in Brent, am I right? Like inventing and forget it.
I let out a loud groan. Dad didn't believe me. He led me downstairs.
Where are we going?
I asked. He didn't answer me.
Dad, I cried. Where are you taking me?
Chapter 27.
Where are we going, Dad? Tell me now.
Calm down, Sammy. We have an appointment with someone who can help you, he finally answered.
Mom and I have talked about your problem with Dr. Crandall, and she's going to see you now.
I don't want to go to a doctor, I yelled. I don't need a doctor, unless it's Dr. Feelgood, the one I heard about from Motley Crue, because then I'll go to him, because Motley Crue's pretty fucking tight.
Don't worry, Dad patted me on the back. You'll like talking to the doctor, even if it isn't Dr. Feelgood. She's really nice and very understanding.
Dad hurried to the kitchen to get his car keys.
Dad thinks I'm crazy, I realized. He thinks I've totally lost it. So does everyone else I know. There's no way I can convince anyone that Brent is real. He's going to live with me forever. He's going to ruin my life forever.
Someone knocked at the door. I pulled it open.
Hi, Sammy. It was Roxanne.
Sorry, I had to bring it back.
I had to come over, she said. I had to talk to you about the ghost.
Wasn't that awesome?
Uh-huh. Really awesome, I murmured.
Well, you don't sound very excited. What's the matter with you?
She headed into the living room and sat down on the couch.
Oh, nothing. Everyone thinks I'm crazy, that's all.
I sat down,
beside her, like the spider that sat down beside Little Miss Muffet while she was eating, I don't know, crumpets or some shit. I don't know. I didn't pay attention in kindergarten. I was too busy just smoking blunts and drinking Fodies. Brutus sauntered in and curled up in my lap. "Did you tell your parents about the ghost? Is that why they think you're crazy? Don't worry, I'll tell them it's all true," Roxanne assured me. "I'll tell them we really saw it." "It's not about the ghost." "Okay, Sammy, let's go." Dad walked into the room, jingling car keys in his hands, like you do to a baby. Come on, ooh, jingle jangle. Mom and Simon followed behind him, both wearing very serious expressions. "Where are you going?" Roxanne called. "Can I come too?" "No, Roxanne, I don't think that would be a good idea," Dad said softly with his words. "I'm taking Sammy to a doctor. He's been seeing things." "But everything's going to be okay," Mom chimed in. She gazed at me with a strange smile on her face. Doctors know how to deal with these things. "You don't have to take Sammy to a doctor," Roxanne started. "The ghost." "Is your invisible friend a ghost? You didn't tell me that part," Mom said. "Your invisible friend?" Roxanne's eyebrows shot up. "He's still in your room? Wait, Dad, don't take Sammy to the doctor," Simon explained. Whoa, I couldn't believe this one. Simon was actually sticking up for me. "Don't take him tonight," Simon added. "Take him tomorrow. He'll still be crazy tomorrow. I want you to help me with my science project tonight. I'm not growing fast enough. I want you to help me come up with a new topic." That was the C in topic. I didn't feel like I hit it hard enough. "It will have to wait, Simon. Your brother needs help," Dad said sternly. "Come on, Sammy. Let's go." "I'm not going to a doctor," I shouted. "Wait, what if I prove that Brent is real?" I didn't give them a chance to answer. I had a plan. A really good plan. If it worked, they'd believe me. They'd have to believe me. I charged down to the basement and searched Dad's workbench. "Where is it? Where is it?" I searched frantically. "It's got to be here somewhere." I cleared the benchtop with a swipe of my hand. "Fuck your research, Dad." Everything clattered to the floor, but I found it. The molecule detector light. By the way, I know that he needed some reason that the guy could prove that his ghost was real, he being R.L. Stein, but molecule detector light, isn't just anything existing being a molecule detector? Like, oh, I can detect the molecules in this tiki statue next to me, and ooh, mic molecules, ooh, I can detect them with my fingers and my eyes and my nose and my tongue. I charged back upstairs. "This light lets you see invisible things, right?" I waved the light in Dad's face. "So if I shine it on Brent, we'll be able to see him, right? Right, Dad? Right?" "Maybe," Dad replied doubtfully, "but Sammy." I ran to the stairs. Everyone followed me. "Will it work?" I wondered. "Will it?" Chapter 28. "Where are you, Brent? I know you're here." Everyone crowded into my room. They watched me as I slowly turned in a circle, searching for a clue, searching for something that would tell me where Brent was. I wish he was in the dead Brenter of the room. "Brent," I called his name. He didn't answer me. I turned on the detector light. I swept it through the room. No sign of Brent anywhere. "Sammy, this is silly," Mom said. She turned to Dad for support, but Dad just shrugged his shoulders. I kneeled down and swept the light under my bed. No Brent. "Please put the light down," Mom pleaded. "We're wasting time. We have an appointment with the doctor." I ignored her. Sexist. That's called misogyny right there. "Where are you, Brent? I know you're here," I said. "Tell us where you are now." And then finally, Brent spoke up. "Please, please don't do it, Sammy. Please, I don't want you to see me." Probably because he has a boner, like I said in the earlier chapters. It's good stuff. Mom, Dad, Simon, Aunt Dune, and Roxy gasped.
See, I cried. I told you. I told you he was here. I told you I'm not crazy. I swept the light over my desk chair, onto my bed, in front of my dresser, but Brent wasn't in any of those places. Where are you, Brent? It's okay. You can tell me. I have to show them. Please, no, Brent cried. I don't want you to. I jerked open the closet door and shined the light inside and saw him. No, I don't believe it, I gasped. You're a monster!
Chapter 29.
You're a monster! I cried again. The molecule detector light shook in my trembling hand. I forced myself to hold the bright beam steady.
This is an ultralight beam!
That's why my parents made me invisible, Brent said softly. They thought I might survive if you couldn't see me. He's a nightbreed. He's from Trap Midian. With my light still focused on him, Brent stepped toward me. I leaped back.
What are you going to do? Wow, he's so ugly, Simon groaned.
Talking about yo mama, listeners. Oh, goddamn, dude went there.
Yuck. He has only one head.
Ah, it's one of those Goosebumps books where it turns out that everyone's a freak except for the invisible person.
And look, he only has two arms and they're so short, Roxanne cried. He can't wrap his arms around and around himself. How does he keep himself warm?
I don't know if I like or don't like these Goosebump twists where it turns out everything took place on a freak planet. It's very Twilight Zone, and I love Twilight Zone, but it's also very Goosebumps, and I hate Goosebumps.
And what's the dark stuff growing on top of his head? Simon pointed. Why doesn't he have tendrils and suction pods like we do? Where's antenna? And how can he see with only two eyes?
Calm down, everyone, Dad instructed. You're not going to harm us, are you, Brent?
No, of course not, Brent replied. I just want to be Sammy's friend.
No, be my friend, Simon cried. I need you for a science project.
Simon turned to Dad.
Can I have him, Dad, please? Can I have him for my science project? I really need him.
That wouldn't be fair, Roxanne replied. Sammy found him first.
Everyone, quiet, Mom ordered. Brent, I've seen pictures of your species in a textbook.
Let me see, what are you called?
I'm called a human, more specifically a Scottish and Italian like old Dune, Brent answered shyly.
That's right, Mom snapped her fingers. Now I remember. Human.
Yuck, Roxanne muttered, making a disgusted face.
I know I'm ugly, Brent said softly. That's why I didn't want you to see me. His voice trailed off.
I stared at Brent in disbelief. A human? I'd never heard of one before. I tore my five eyes away from him and turned to Dad.
I know he's ugly, Dad, but I think I'd like to keep him, I said. Can I? I'll take good care of him, I promise.
No, I don't think so, Sammy. Dad studied Brent for a moment. I think we'd better take Brent to the zoo.
Huh? The zoo? I cried. Why, Dad? Why does he have to live in a zoo?
Well, he'll get much better care there, Dad answered. After all, humans are an endangered species. The end of that bullshit, am I right? God damn. All right. Just, you know, wrapping up all the Goosebumps, you know. Trying to get my, is it ducks in order? Is that a thing? I don't know. Point is, there you go. Dune Reads Goosebumps. Got it up. I am going to walk the three dogs, make a salad for dinner, and depending on how sleepy my beautiful fiance is, either watch a movie or something, or continue reading this sweet, sweet NoFX book. So, you know, hit me up. We'll talk about video games, I guess. I don't know. I don't know at all about anything. Stay spooky, bitches.